Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Chris.
Hey, Chris Ronji.
And now your host, Chris Ronji.
It is not Chris Ronji.
Good job there, Chris. Enjoy the day.
I'm not Chris Ronji.
Don't call Les.
Stop yelling at me, all right?
Ranger, love your show, but please, quit.
No, shut up.
Z, shut up for 1 second and listen to me. I don't really care about the rest of this update.
It's Chris Ronji on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It's sphincter clinching time.
Ah! I feel good.
What's happening, friends? How we doing? Good to talk to you tonight. My name is Chris. I will be with you tonight until, 8 o'clock? Because we got the Cubs pregame show. The Cubs will continue their season tonight. They're going to play the fourth game of the year. They'll be in Arizona. They are in Arizona. They will play again tonight. We're going to lead you to the Cubs pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Welcome in. Hope you are doing well tonight, and I promise you, the best I can do with you is give you a good time. I'm going to give you a good time tonight. How do you feel about that? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. If you would like to visit with me, I would love to have you join the show. You can text the show with that very number, and there is an Odyssey app that you should be listening to this station on. It comes in crystal clear. You can rewind. You can go back and get podcasts later. And while you're listening to the station, you can send a voice message in. There's a little button that says record a message or send a message or something like that right by the listen live button. Just click that damn thing, record a message, and you can send it to the show and maybe you will hear it on the air. How does that sound? Perfect. So tonight we are pretty jam-packed. We're going to talk some baseball with Ben Verlander of Fox Sports. He is a Major League Baseball analyst. He's the host of Flippin' Bats. He will be with us. We're going to talk to Adam Amin about your Chicago Bulls, and we'll get some draft talk in as well. Mike Renner with CBS, he is going to visit with us tonight. We are getting close to draft day for the Bears, and we're all wondering what it is they're going to do with the 10th pick in the draft. Also, I'm forcing Mark Grody to come back. Here's the deal. I have, last couple of shows that I have filled in on 670 The Score. I haven't had a chance to talk to Mark. So really, this is not for you. This is for me. You got to hear Mark in the midday show today. Too bad you're going to hear him again, because I want to talk to my pal. So I'm going to have Mark Grody on the show today. And part of the reason is I think that we need to celebrate Illinois State University's big basketball win in the CBI. Did you know there's another tournament? There's an NCAA tournament. There is an NIT. Everybody knows about that. And then there's a thing called the CBI, which you may have just now heard about. Illinois State, the champion, they did it. Congratulations to the Redbirds. And my former fellow Redbird, Mark Grody, is going to be on the show with me today. So we could talk about all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you've got some White Sox stuff you want to yell at me about, feel free. Even if it's held over from 10 years ago and you just want to get it off your chest, go ahead. This is your opportunity to yell Sox things at me. Also, we can talk Cubs, and we are going to do that. But how about we do this? And by the way, I should tell you one other baseball thing. I have a pet peeve, and I think I am the only person in the world who hates it, but I'm going to talk about it in the hopes that someday it gets fixed. And it has to do with Major League Baseball. I hate it. I hate it so much, this thing that I'll tell you about here in just a moment. But how about these Bulls and what happened last night in their game at home against the Lakers? I'm sure you have talked about it and relived it and maybe rewatched the highlight a million times for yourself. But let's do this, because I can't get enough of it. It was such an incredible ending to a game that really wasn't all that great, to be honest. until the very end. But it is one of the most fantastic finishes you will ever see in an NBA game. Unbelievable final 13 seconds that took place. And, you know, it takes like a minute and a half to play 13 seconds in the NBA. But I want you to hear again, so we can all live it together, the final sequence as the Bulls miraculously take the lead, give it back up, and then they win it. Well, why don't you just listen in?
Holding and looking is Giddey. Giddey still holding, still looking, and play accepted by Vooch. Left corner, Williams for three. Got it! Big time shot. Patrick Williams, 9.8 to go. And then LeBron threw it away. Tommy left side three. Yes! Oh my goodness! 6 seconds to go. Tommy White for three, putting the Bulls ahead. 116-115 on a turnover by LeBron James. Tommy White. Unbelievable. This place is going absolutely crazy.
Wow.
So Doncic in play, far sideline, left forecourt. Doncic holding and looking and play to Reeves. Works on Williams to the rim, and the layup is good. 3.3 left. 117-116 Lakers. Williams to Giddey over the midcourt line. Good, it goes. Midcourt. Oh! It's good! It's good! It's good! Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! Josh Giddey from midcourt from the Bulls logo. What a ball game! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! Josh Giddey, I love you!
Dude, how good is that? Chuck Swirsky on the call last night, the Bulls game on WBBM because of Cubs baseball, which was here on the Score. But my God, man, look, this is one of those seasons that I would, I think, prefer for them to not make a playoff run because they can't win the thing this year. They're not good enough to do that. And as everybody knows, they are right there on the verge of, well, they are a playoff team right now. And I think they're comfortably in at this point. So they're going to be in this play-in game with, 73 games they have played so far. So that means we're talking about 9 games left to go in the season. Unless there is some sort of incredible collapse, they are going to be a playoff team. They're going to be in that playoff game. I love the playoffs. I love it when my teams get to the playoffs. I love it when the Bulls make it there. And I want to enjoy this season as much as I can, even though I know that the best this team can do is probably just kind of get in and maybe win that playoff game. But I think I'm where a lot of other people are on this, that the deeper they go, the more it lessens their chances of drafting in that top 10, you know, because obviously if they advance in the play-in, then you've got the 15th pick, and right now they're at 10. I don't want them to do it. I know it's bad to say that, but I don't want them to win that game. But I will tell you this, in the meantime, even if this season is not a championship season, which let's be honest, it's not going to be, that was so much fun last night. That is the kind of regular season game that you will talk about forever. The kind of finish that you will talk about. It's the kind of thing that you are going to remember for the rest of your life. And what's incredible about it is how it got so much national attention. I mean, you're seeing there was a texter earlier talking about the Today Show. They were talking about it today. And that's not really a sports program. But I know that, you know, the New York Times was talking about it, and you have these national outlets that were discussing the finish of that game, and it is okay. In fact, it is preferred, even if this isn't going to be a deep playoff run team, it's still okay to enjoy moments like that that happen, because that is an all-time great Bulls moment, an all-time great Bulls finish. You will hardly see games happen like that. That's unbelievable. That's the kind of thing you are going to talk about in 30 years. And I love that it happened, and I am going to continue to enjoy it, and it's okay for you to do that too. But boys, let's not go too far in that playoff thing, huh? Let's try to keep that lottery pick. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Your thoughts on it, what you want to see happen. Of course, we're going to talk about the draft, the NFL draft. That is the thing that we are all focusing on, even though the start of the baseball season is here. And I am very curious to get Mike Renner's take, because we don't really know what the Bears are going to do. And I am very conflicted on what I think they should do. If they should just go ahead and continue to shore up their lines, whether it's an offensive line pick, another one for depth, or if it's somebody on the defensive side, or if they should go get the flashy sort of pick like a running back, right? I don't know if I like the idea of doing that. I feel like if you strengthen the trenches, everything will be a whole lot easier for both sides of the ball. So that's where I lean on this. I wish I had a really strong take about it, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. They might take one of those skill position players with the 10th pick, and I'm going to be talked into agreeing with it. No matter what they do, I will probably look at it and go, yeah, that's right. That's the right thing to do. Sure. Because they've got me. You know, they've got me convinced that they know what they're doing, I think, for the most part. So whatever they decide to do, I'm pretty sure I'm going to fall into that trap of, this is exactly the right pick to make. Why would I even think that they would do something different than this? This is correct. Way to go, Bears. So we're going to talk to Mike Renner. We'll talk to Mark Grody about that as well. So let me tell you, before we get to Ben Verlander with Fox Sports, to talk some Major League Baseball with him and the start to the season. So this is a thing that's not happening for the Cubs, and it's not happening for them because they are playing in a ballpark that has a roof and there's no real threat of rain in Arizona. The White Sox are dealing with it right now, and it is not their fault. This is what Major League Baseball does, and we just accept it. We've accepted it for years. This buffer day after the start of the regular season is, I hate it so much. I hate the fact that we have opening day every year on a Thursday, and then every team that doesn't have a roof keeps the next day open. So you have opening day. You have all the pomp and the circumstance and the huge show of the opener. Everybody comes out. Everybody tailgates at Sox Park. You know, you go through the whole thing. You get the win. That's great. Then there's an off day on Friday. Why do we do this? And I know you're going to say, well, they do it just in case there's a rain out. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. Having a buffer day after the opener, to me, feels a lot like the way kickoffs have gone in the NFL, because these guys can kick so well. It's like you have the buildup for the game. Oh, my God, here we go. Here's the kickoff. Balls in the air. Oh, it's through the back of the end zone. Let's stop play immediately. There's no returner. It feels exactly. It is such a letdown. I hate the buffer day. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And let me tell you why else I hate it. How many times can you remember there actually being a rainout, a complete washout on opening day? When's the last time one of your teams had a complete washout on opening day? Well, I will tell you how many times it's happened. Just me looking, and yes, I took the time to do this because I am a psychopath. So I went through and I tried to find all of the games that were opening day games that were rained out. So last year, there were two. The year before that, there were three. The year before that, there were two. And guess when they played each of them? The following day, on the Friday, where the weather was fine, which they should have just started the season on Friday. Why do baseball teams do this? I hate it so much. I hate it. Because the Friday is a perfect time to start the season. It's a weekend. People have an easier time taking off work on Fridays. Play the damn games on Friday. It's very rare that an actual rainout happens. And usually when it does, it has, at least recently, been on the Thursday and not the Friday. Just start the season on a Friday. It's fine, MLB. This buffer day nonsense. Tell me I'm right. or you could tell me I'm wrong. 312-644-6767. How about we take a call? Mike is in Orland Park with us on the Score. Hello, Mike.
Hey, hello, Chris. Good to hear you back on the radio, buddy. Hey, and I agree with you on the Friday, okay? So we're going to get
so
that
dumb.
Right off the rip.
It is so dumb. Oh.
It is. I mean, just common sense. I mean, like, you know, people, like you said, could take off. You know, I mean, do you have more fans
whatever.
Than fans? But my question for you, Chris, I'm not sure what the two second round picks are for the Bears. I know they're very high in the second round. Do you think they could package those two picks and move into the first round? And the reason I'm asking that is because I'd like to get that receiver from Texas, Golden, because I think with the receivers they had last year, I know they're going to still have DJ Moore and Rome Odunze, right? But Keenan Allen's gone. I thought all three of those receivers was basically the same receiver. Like, none of them could take the top off the defense. And I think that's what the Bears are missing. They need a receiver that could take the top off the defense, like an Xavier Worthy, you know, and separate and get, you know, be interested in your opinion on that.
Yeah, so and I appreciate the phone call, Mike. They've got the 39th and the 41st pick, and the 39th is the one that came from Carolina. So those are both second round picks. I suppose they could do that. I bet they don't, though. That's my guess. If anything, I could see them. And I'm going to ask Grody about this, and I know you've probably heard from him too, but I haven't. I want to talk to my friend Mark. I'll ask him, and I'll ask Mike Renner about this later in the show. But I think I would. I kind of want them to keep the picks they have. I don't know how much movement I want to see. But again, I'll tell you what will happen on draft day. Just like I told you earlier, they will probably move one direction, whether it's up or down. And I'll say, yes, of course, that was the right thing to do. Why didn't I think of that? I know that's going to happen. But I agree with you on the idea, the concept of a receiver. But I'm certainly not doing it at 10. I would not choose that. They went that route last year. It doesn't mean it's the wrong thing, because I think Rome is ultimately going to be a really, really good receiver for them for a long time. And yeah, they could use the help. I just think there are other things they have to do first. And I don't, and I am really of the mindset, and I can be talked out of this, but I am of the mindset, I would like to see them continue to strengthen the offensive line. I know they've done a lot of work, and maybe it's just depth they need, and they're probably not doing that at 10, but I would strongly suggest they do. Be as strong as you possibly can up front on the line, and they have done great work to strengthen the middle, but I am not above saying that this team's offensive line is set and ready to go. Now let's move on to everything else. I would not be as comfortable with that idea as some people are. Make it as strong as possible. Best teams in the NFL are strong up front. So that's the way I see it. But I also do, Mike, agree with you on the idea of getting another receiver. It's probably not going to be a high pick, though. Appreciate the phone call, and we're going to take more of them throughout the evening. 312-644-6767. You can listen to the show on the Odyssey app. You can send us a voice message from the Odyssey app as well. Let's talk some baseball. Fox Sports MLB analyst Ben Verlander joins the show next on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
1-2 pitch.
Got him swinging. Strike three. Finishes it off in the ninth, and the White Sox, with their first home win to open the season since 2014, an 8-1 win. Southside, stand up.
The 2-1 ground ball to second. This could be the ball game. Horner's got it. Throws to first. Cubs win the ball game. Victory number one for the Cubs this season as they beat the Diamondbacks here in Phoenix by a score of 10-6.
Highlights courtesy Chicago Sports Network and 670 The Score. Hope you're doing well this evening, and we take some time in the midst of the start of the baseball season. Some teams are playing their second game of the year today. A lot of teams are off, though, which is how it seems to go at the beginning of the year. And we thought that we would go to the guest line this evening, which is brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Guests join us again. Joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline right now is Ben Verlander. He is the analyst or an analyst with Fox Sports covering Major League Baseball. Also has a podcast. It is called Flippin' Bats. You should watch and listen to it. Ben Verlander is with us on The Score. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I have this pet peeve, and I have had it for years. And I want to know if you agree with me on this before we get to Cubs and White Sox. I hate that there is this buffer day on Fridays, that they open the season on a Thursday and then everybody takes the day off on Friday just in case it rains, when it doesn't happen all that often. Please tell me that we should be starting the season on Friday instead of a Thursday.
Yeah, I really don't get it. I was actually thinking about that earlier. It does feel like there are more games today on the day after opening day than usual, but I don't understand why every team isn't playing.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a built-in rain day, but like, we don't do that in the rest of the season. Why are we not? Like, I just don't understand it. It frustrates me. It makes no sense. So I'm with you.
Dude, I thought I was alone on this, because I've been ranting about it all day and no one's listening to me. So I think it's the stupidest.
Well,
because here's what happened.
Coming in to be like, you know what I love about baseball? That off day right after opening day. I think everyone agrees with you.
Okay.
Really.
It's just like this, you know, you build up to the season. Oh my God, let's start it. Here we go. Okay. The next day is an off day. It doesn't make any sense. And I was going through some of the rainouts that did happen on opening day the last few years. Guess when each one of them was made up? On the Friday when the game should have been scheduled in the first place. So it doesn't make any sense. All right, so let's talk about this Cubs team, which was the official opening of the baseball season. They lost 2 to the Dodgers. They get the first win against the Diamondbacks last night. They will play tonight. We got the pregame show at 8:05 coming up here on The Score. So this is the favorite to win the division, but is it to you, Ben, a team that could actually, and I know we're way far away from this, but could they actually make a real serious playoff run?
I think that answer is yes. I think they're definitely good enough. There's a lot of question marks. They are the favorite to win the division. But there's a lot of holes in the roster, but I think with the entire NL Central, there's holes on teams' rosters. I think they're probably, I think they're most talented if everything works out the way it should. And then I would like to see them do a good bit at the trade deadline if they want to go and compete and win the division. Because if they think it's going to be a cakewalk to win, I disagree. You know, I think the Brewers are always there. The Brewers always seem to be better than everyone thinks they will. The Reds are a really exciting up-and-coming team that the ceiling is probably the highest for them of anybody in the division. They could be really good. So there's holes in the roster, but to answer your question, I absolutely think they can be good enough for sure.
Yeah, Milwaukee is an interesting case because I do this, I don't know how you feel about it, but every year I do this thing where I say, Brewers they're not going to be any good this year. And they're either in the playoffs winning the division or in the conversation until the very last week or something. So every year they're competitive. I agree with you on the Reds. I think the Cardinals have been a non-factor the last couple of years. Do you see them being a threat at all?
Look, the team on paper theoretically should be, but the culture there for a couple of years, which it's wild to say this about the Cardinals, because they were the opposite of this forever. They were the staple of consistency and culture and going about things the right way, but it just feels off there right now. I mean, theoretically a team with Contreras and Arenado and, you know, some studs on that team should be good. But in my eyes, I just don't think they're committed enough, not the players themselves, but the team, the manager, the front office. I don't think anybody's committed enough to putting a winning product out on the field. That's what concerns me with the Cardinals. So, you know, I don't see them as a legitimate threat. When it comes to the Brewers and your belief, I've done the same thing. Look, I had them finishing in last place last year, and they finished in first place. So it's just seemingly what they do is they go out, they win ball games, and, you know, you can get rid of your closer, you can get rid of your best pitcher, and, you know, your best pitcher goes to Baltimore the year prior, your closer goes to New York, and it just seemingly doesn't matter. They just run out a good team every single year.
Ben Verlander joins us here on 670 The Score, and you brought up something that I think has been a source of frustration for Cubs fans, and that is knowing the team is, this is a good team, it's not a great team, but it is a good team, and that they didn't do enough during the offseason. They didn't do as much as they should, a team with the resources they have. Do you see it the same way? Do you find their offseason to have been disappointing?
Yeah, it's a head scratcher. You know, I think they're a team seemingly not acting like a big market team that's stuck in this like gray area of what are we? Are we like trying to win? Do we want to win? We're going to get one of the best players in the league, Kyle Tucker, via a trade. That's fantastic. Now let's build around him and add some bullpen help, add a starting pitcher for some depth in the rotation, add another offensive piece, do something other than Kyle Tucker. So it was, to me, was like they make the trade, you hear they're involved, and then it's like, okay, this could be the year the Cubs decide, like, you know what, we're back, we're going for it. They get Kyle Tucker, and then they're seemingly like, you know, quiet, and then they're back all in on Alex Bregman apparently, but then they don't flip that into anything. So it is confusing to me, and it is a little frustrating. This, like, you know what, if you want to rebuild for the future, do it. If you want to compete and be really good, do it. But I struggle with the in-between gray area of like, of what are we going to be? And when you trade for a guy like Kyle Tucker and get rid of a guy like Cam Smith, who was seemingly going to be a really good prospect or was a really good prospect and could potentially be a good big leaguer someday, but he turns around and makes the opening day roster. When you trade away a guy like that for Kyle Tucker, and that's the only move you make, it's like, well, we're just living in this gray area, like refusing to spend some more money and go make this team that's good to make them great. And that's where it feels like they are. They're like good on the cusp of being really good, but didn't do anything to make them much better besides Kyle.
Talking with Ben Verlander here on 670 The Score, and looking at the rotation, the Cubs have it's pretty good, especially at the top, at least on paper anyway, with Steele and Tyone and Imanaga. As you look at their rotation compared to, we'll start with the rest of the division and then the rest of the National League, how good is this one?
Yeah, I think it's really good. I think that's the exciting piece for them is, like, I ahead of the Tokyo series, I was really diving into the two teams and was really excited about what the Cubs are running out there in terms of Imanaga and Justin Steele. I mean, that's, you know, as far as it goes around the league, that's, you know, top 10 at least, 1-2 punch in the game of baseball, potential to be much better. Imanaga was fantastic last year. Justin Steele's an ace of a staff kind of guy. So fantastic 1-2 punch and some good arms after that. So rotation wise, I like it a lot. I think it's good enough to be a great team in the division. I just was frustrating that they didn't do a little bit more, but here we are, and they're going to pitch for sure.
Yeah, that is a, it's difficult, I think, for a lot of Cubs fans to see that, to know that they have the resources and all of that, and really didn't seem to do enough during the offseason, even though the opportunity is there. So with the rest of the National League, other than the Dodgers, I mean, that's the powerhouse, clearly. The Mets and both the Mets and the Braves will be pretty good teams this year. I think we're guaranteed of that. Philadelphia, what is the biggest threat aside from the Dodgers for the Cubs in the National League?
Yeah, I think when I look at the National League, obviously you point at the Dodgers, but to me, there's a handful of teams that I think can realistically beat the Dodgers. Maybe that realistically is more around the 3 or 4, but I'll throw a fifth in. I think the entire NL East, Braves, Mets, Phillies, not the entire NL East, I guess the Nationals and Marlins aren't on that list, but the teams in the NL East, Braves, Mets, and Phillies, I think are all good enough. I think I give a little bit of a nod there to the Braves just because give me a five game series and you're able to throw out Spencer Strider and Chris Sale with a really, really good offense. We're on a very level playing field there. And look, I absolutely think the Braves can beat them in a series. Philly's offense is fantastic. Rotation with Wheeler and Nola. That's the recipe to win. And I think there's a couple teams in the NL East able to beat the Dodgers. Mets, the rotation concerns me. Unless they add a top-of-the-line ace at the trade deadline, I would worry about their ability to beat one of those top teams in the playoffs. And so those are the three. Out west, I would say Padres are going to be really good, and D-backs should be good as well. But, yeah, mostly I would say the NL East teams are going to be incredible.
All right, last thing before we let you go. The White Sox are coming in with a brand-new rotation. This team, everybody knows, historically bad last year. Will it be anything close to that?
I sure hope not. I mean, after game one, I think I tweeted this out. After game one, I fear that I made a pretty big mistake not putting the White Sox in my power rankings to start the year. You're 1-0. You put up a bunch of runs. You're looking good. To me, when it comes to what was happening there last year, and I knew some guys on the team and talked to some guys on the team, when you're that bad, these guys are Major League Baseball players. There's more to it going on. To me, it becomes a culture thing. It becomes what's going on in that locker room. And it certainly looks like that's changed. This team's not going to win 80 games, but I do believe that they can win a lot more games than they did last year. And I think the guys are going to have a lot more fun playing baseball. We're already seeing that. Venable looks to be doing a really good job. The guys like him. Vibes are high. And just being big league baseball players with a fun locker room changes everything. And last year you had a bad team with really bad vibes, and it just wasn't fun showing up to the ballpark every day. And I think there's a potential for them to have fun showing up to the ballpark right now and win a lot more games this year.
Ben, appreciate the conversation. Thank you for giving us time here on a Friday night.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That is MLB analyst on Fox Sports and host of the Flippin' Bats podcast, Ben Verlander, with us. When we come back, Mark Grody, my guy, fellow Redbird, joins us on The Score.
Some people like
Mark Grody. Chris Ronji on 670 The Score tonight, and we, again, are going back to the guest line. I told this guy I wanted to talk to him because I miss him and I love him, and he needs to be on with me every now and then. In the last couple of shows I've done, he has not been there for me, and today he is. Mark Grody, hosting the midday show earlier, covers the Bears for 670 The Score. What's up, Grody?
I hope you understand that when you asked me to be on your program earlier, I wasn't trying to shoo you off or anything when I reminded you that I did the midday show already. I wanted to make that note just for the sanity of the radio station in terms of being overexposed. You know what I'm saying? So please, I'm happy to do it. I just wanted you to understand where I was coming from at that moment, Chris. How are you?
Buddy, I miss you. I'm happy to talk to you. Well, we'll get into the Bears first in a little bit, but first we should mention our Redbirds winning the CBI. Pretty big deal, isn't it?
Oh, hey, man, you said, man, they got to do this, this, and this, and they will beat Cleveland State. They did this, this, and this, just like you said, and they won the game. So go, congratulations, Redbirds.
Illinois State winning the College Basketball Invitational. It exists, in case you didn't know. All right, Grody.
Doug Collins been contacted, by the way, about this?
I don't know. Well, they had a whole ceremony for Doug Collins. Was it about a month or two ago?
Yeah, that's right.
The court naming thing, and he was there. They did something.
They did something.
I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, he's our most important alum, right? Yeah, Doug Collins, like the relative to sports, right?
Relative or is it to sports?
Mike Vandegaard, maybe?
No, second? I don't know. Still no. Doug Collins.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Olympian, Bulls coach.
You're right. You're right. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something or something had been changed or amended in who we talk about, who we associate Illinois State hoops with. Yeah. It's Doug Collins, even though they've had some nice players through the years.
But we've had some celebs, though. You got Jane Lynch and Brendan Hunt. And
that's right.
John Malkovich has come through.
Yeah, he did. That's a Chris Ranji.
That's right. All right. Less than a month, like one day shy of a month away from the NFL draft. What is this team going to do?
I don't know, because the acquisitions, free agent signings that the Bears have made have clouded what they might do in the draft in the best way possible, because you went out and got three offensive linemen. You got two defensive linemen. You get a receiver and a kick return, and also another guy that can receive as well, or be a receiver as well as returning kicks in Duvernay. So you have done all of those things. So then that makes it interesting now, like, because there could be nobody should have a single issue with the Bears if they were to continue to build along the lines, offensive line and defensive line. That would to me look pretty sharp at number 10, a Kelvin Banks Jr., a Mason Graham, if he was to fall, just to give a sampling from the offensive line and the defensive line. And then, Chris, the name that I've kind of been peddling the last couple of days when asked to make a pick at number 10, I'm ready to take a serious consideration of Tyler Warren, the tight end out of Penn State, who is versatile, a good receiver, fast, good route runner, can hit 218 rushing yards last year as well. I just think that, and there is a method to my madness, too. We know what Ben Johnson is capable of doing with good tight ends, and this might be better than a good tight end, Tyler Warren.
Yeah, and it really opens things up for Komet, too. If you've
got somebody else
out there, yeah. I mean, I like that idea. I guess I'm with you, though, leaning toward strengthening the line, because you can't have a strong enough offensive line. And if you can't do it there, then on the defensive side, but you cannot be strong enough in those two fronts.
No, I mean, that's totally correct. And look, Ryan Poles has alluded to the possibility of there being a competition at left tackle. Now, you know, things change based on, again, the signings and what they have done with the guys in the interior. That might make that different. Like, they may be like, okay, we're good with Braxton Jones, but you can't rule that out. You can't, again, Kelvin Banks Jr., I know Will Campbell with the arm length thing. Will that drop him into the hands of the Bears, and would they then have a decision to make as well? That is absolutely, and at the very least, you are building depth, and it doesn't have to be sports tragic when Tevin Jenkins comes out of a game, as he did in the past. I know Tevin Jenkins is no longer around, but just using him as an example, you're not out of luck, so to speak.
You know, a lot of attention has been going to, and rightfully so, has been going to Caleb Williams, and you know, the stuff about him having to learn how to be a professional. And when I first heard those things a couple of weeks ago, it sort of struck by it, because it did not appear to me that he was not acting like a professional. And maybe there were a couple of things here and there, some body language stuff that I guess you'd like to see better from him. But did you get the impression from him?
Honestly, I did not, Chris. I mean, yeah, like you said, he's a laid back, casual kind of guy when we see him in the locker room. But that's just the players are very aware of the fact that the media is in there, so you don't necessarily get the full view of the guy. So no, I never noticed anything like that in terms of needing to be more professional. I mean, that is stuff that obviously, if that is true, that manifested itself probably when the media was not around or during practices and things like that. So that is definitely not something that I have seen out of them. But it will be interesting. It will be interesting to see how Ben Johnson kind of brings him along and, you know, starting from scratch and getting Caleb Williams to where a lot of us, including me, still thinks that this guy can be a great quarterback with the Bears.
There was an interview with his private quarterback coach that Tyler Dunn had conducted. And in that interview, the coach said that he thought that because there was such a focus on wanting to make him a pocket guy,
yeah,
the pocket, that there was maybe an overcorrection in that area by him. Did you see it that way too? That maybe they were trying too hard to keep him in the pocket?
Yeah. I do. I think that's fair. I mean, you could see it. And obviously Caleb Williams was very interested in being a pocket quarterback. So he wanted that. There are a lot of times that when the pocket would collapse around the offensive line, you would just see Caleb Williams kind of stand there as opposed to not ejecting from the pocket. Now, we saw plenty of times where he did get better at that, but I did notice that early on with Caleb Williams, and I think that part of that was because he was focusing on being a pocket quarterback. Part of this is the quarterback. I mean, Caleb Williams did not want to be known as that guy who – he didn't want to be known as like a Justin Fields type of guy. He wanted to be known as a pass-first guy, use your legs later, use the creativity later. He wanted to be that type of guy. Maybe he still can be that guy, but it's also possible that there needs to be some concessions and some augmentation on exactly how they want to use Caleb Williams in this offense.
How much concern do you have about Jaquan Brisker, who, you know, had a lot of concussion problems last year and missed, you know, most of the season? So I know on Instagram today was pretty fiery about coming back and, you know, saying that he was going to be good to go and all that stuff. But do you have concerns about his long-term health?
Yeah, I mean, of course, how could he not? I mean, he's had multiple concussions. It does feel like I don't know exactly what happened all with in terms of how close he got to playing, if he got close and then they pulled the plug for him last year and said, no, we're not going to put you out there. So, of course, there is that concern for him and his long-term health. But then the conundrum that it is, if he is cleared to play, can he adjust the way he plays? So far, he's not necessarily been able to do that completely. And I understand where he's coming from, because a lot of it is his identity and the some of the fear that he can put into offenses while he's out there. But it'll be interesting, Chris. I can tell you this, that when I was in the locker room last year, and he was in there for a few of the weeks that we had open locker room, and I wasn't putting a microphone up to him, but I would just ask him how he's doing. He always said he was doing well, and even within the season, while he was in concussion protocol, he always said that he thought that he was going to play again, like that he was going to be part of that big gauntlet of games that came for the Bears at the end, starting with the division games. He thought that he would be playing in those games, and obviously it didn't work out. But I certainly prefer, for the sake of the player, to hear an abundance of caution. So it feels like the right thing was done with Jaquan Brisker last year, and the way they handled him, and an abundance of caution, if that's what it was, and that's what it feels like, I think that was the right way to handle it. And if they clear him, then let's see, you know, full speed ahead for Jaquan Brisker, and the Bears have to make a decision. Do they want to give him an extension? But that's another whole 5-minute rant, probably.
Well, we don't have 5 minutes. I know, Chris.
And I've just about had it.
Gross.
Now I'm sick of me, okay? I was worried about the people being sick of me. I've had it with me, you know?
This is enough.
Yeah, that, I've made my contribution. Good day, sir.
Grody, yes. I love you. I will talk to you soon, and I need you to do your job a lot
better. Chris, yeah. I love you. Talk to you later, buddy.
Mark Grody, he is our Bears insider, and he is the absolute best. Tonight, the Cubs continue their series against the Diamondbacks. Pregame coverage at 8:05. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer, they'll be on the call for first pitch at 8:40 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. I am taking you until 8 o'clock tonight. Chris Ronji filling in here on The Score. We're going to talk to Adam Amin next.